Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hey, good morning to everybody out there. Excited about today's show. Having some little bit of technical difficulties with my computer the last couple of days, but hey, excited about show. Waiting for Ruth to call in and get connected with us here so that we can share with you part two of what took place at the Black Millionaire Summit that took place in Dallas, Texas this past weekend. While I'm waiting for Ruth to call in, I want to take and share with you a little thought here from "It Only Takes a Minute to Change Your Life" by Willie Jolly. And it's on page 80, called Acres of Diamonds. "The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence," it is said. "Or could it be that they take more time and effort on their grass than you? I was talking to a friend who was disappointed because he didn't get a position that he thought was better than his present one, which is a position with great potential. I shared a true story with him about a farmer in Africa who became entrailed by the diamond trade. He was so anxious to get rich that he decided to sell his farm and go searching for the real riches elsewhere. He sold the farm to the first person who came along and took whatever the man would give him and went to find his riches. After many disappointing years without finding any diamonds, he finally gave up and threw himself over a cliff. Meanwhile, back at the farm, the man who brought it from him was walking across the stream one day and found a big shiny rock. He took it back and placed it on his mantle. A friend came one day from the city and saw the rock and was amazed. He said, "Wow, this is a diamond, probably one of the biggest diamonds I've ever seen. Where did you find it?" The man said, "I found it in the stream. But hey, there are a whole lot of them around here. They're all over the place." The farm became known as Acres of Diamonds. Friends, there are diamonds in your own backyard. You have diamonds all around you. In fact, there's diamonds inside of you. All you have to do is look. The grass can be just as green and even greener on your side of the fence. Feed and water your grass, and it too will be beautiful. The lesson in that is that what happened was, the person that had the farm did not know what diamonds look like in its raw stage. And by not knowing what diamonds look like in its raw stage, they bypassed them. And, you know, too often we do not know what diamonds in our own life look like in its raw and rough stage. And so we bypass them. That is the lesson from this particular reading that I shared with you, you know, this morning, and that's the whole point. And I'm pretty sure that Ruth's going to reiterate as she shares some of the things that people shared at the Black Millionaire Summit. And you know, that's so key, people, is that we all have diamonds right now in our lives. We just don't know what they look like in its raw and rough stage. And so we throw them away. So because we don't know what a diamond looks like in its raw stage. We just think it's a big old shiny rock. And with that, let me bring up my guest this morning. Ruth, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Had a little couple computer glitches and had to switch up some computers. I didn't get a chance to email you like I had wanted to, and working off an old computer right now. But, you know, hey, God is good all the time. And, you know, but I'm glad that, you know, in spite of all of that, we're still able to do today's show and excited about having you do part two today of the Black Millionaire Summit. And before going into your information, what do you feel about what I just shared with people about not recognizing diamonds in their raw stage?
Could you repeat that? I'm driving today without my headset.
Okay.
That's my glitch this morning. So I want to apologize if the connection is not as clear. But
okay.
Just repeat that one more time.
No, I was just saying that as I was sharing the whole lesson about which a lot of people of us in network marketing know, the story of the Acres of Diamonds, is that, you know, the person didn't recognize what a diamond looked like in its raw stage, so they went elsewhere searching for diamonds, sold their farm. Another person comes along their farm, stumbles across all of these huge rocks, and just says, oh, they're nice, pretty rocks. Someone else recognized what it is. And too often, as I was saying, we don't recognize the diamonds in our own life.
Right. And we don't recognize that we are the diamond first.
Right.
We take for granted our own abilities. We fail to see our greatness and our uniqueness. And sometimes we often seek outside of ourselves for something we already have. And we are diamonds. We just need a little polishing, you know? And sometimes a little cutting on. You know, diamonds come in different cuts. There's a pear cut, a marquee cut, a princess cut. So I say identify what type of diamond you are and be that diamond. First of all, once you can identify that you are a diamond in all your greatness and your uniqueness and your work in progress, then you'll be able to see and appreciate others. So I love the story this morning. I've read that story before, Acres of Diamonds, and it's one of the ones I read before I read Think and Grow Rich.
All right.
It's part of a book, and that's a one I definitely do recommend. And that's
right.
Cornwell, right?
Right. Right.
Yes.
And from that, he founded Temple University in Philadelphia.
That's right. And, you know, these principles are the principles that millionaires have used for ages. And we are blessed now. And I was so blessed this weekend to be in the presence of so many diamonds. And so many, you know, when Fran Harris and Myron Golden decided to do this event, I'm pretty sure they used that blueprint and Acres of Diamonds as their guide.
Mm.
You know, they're not going, they know that there are diamonds right here in their community, in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
And they harvested a lot of diamonds. They saw a lot of people in the road. I'm one of them. You know,
right.
I shared after we got off the phone last week, Tuesday, I'm sorry, that one of the hurdles I was able to jump over was that of being a disabled person. And, you know, just say, because people have always used the cliche, the blind can't lead the blind. Well, it just stopped with me in saying the blind can't. But I'm here to tell you today that whatever your limitations are, they are self-imposed limitations. And that's what I learned this weekend.
Okay.
Imposed. You have the power to achieve anything that you can believe you can achieve. Now, there are limits on you, but only you know your limits. Do not allow anyone else to impose limits on you. That's one of the main principles that I received from that event, from the Black Millionaire in Dallas.
You're saying that people need to make sure whatever it is that they want to accomplish in life is that they don't let anyone else set the limitations for what they can accomplish.
Yeah, that is correct. And not even letting themselves set the limitations. You know,
okay.
You can ask for help.
All right.
You can seek out people that will coach and mentor you. They can see things in you that you can't see in yourself. And Baba Jahi is a great mentor. So if any of his listeners are having, you know, some little self-doubts, pick up the phone, call him, send him an email. He's here to help you. He's a great mentor. And you have the object of the story that he read this morning is that you have everything you need right now. You just have to reach down and pick it up and take action.
That's so true. And I thank you for that compliment. I mean, that's so true. You know, it just reminds me again of one of the people that I've used to help mentor me and the things that I do, which is Les Brown. And I've also shared him with, you know, children in my youth entrepreneur program. All of them get a copy of Les Brown's tape called Live Your Dreams. And one of the things that Les talks about is don't let somebody else's opinion of you become you. And he talks about how he was labeled educationally, mentally retarded. And one day he was challenged by Mr. Washington in his school and asked him to go to the blackboard and write something. And he said, I can't do that, sir, because I'm educationally, mentally retarded. And Mr. Washington stopped him and said, don't you ever let somebody else's opinion of you become you.
Wow. Powerful.
And I've used that, you know, with children that I've worked with who was told they ADH, they this, that, and the other, and whatever. And I said, who told you that? I said, you know.
And that's one of the things that our children are being, it's being drummed into them and, you know, putting into special education classes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these are just labels. And,
right.
You know, when I was in school, I was labeled disabled. But, you know, I took that label and I tore it off my back.
All right.
I started thinking in my mind that I'm just differently abled. I can do anything that others can do. I just do them differently. So I guess I want to credit the hip-hop community, too, when they came out with dissing people, when people dissing you. I got to thinking about that. You know, these kids are trying to tell us something here. So, you know, don't label yourself. And if there's a child in your orbit, remind them how great they are. That is such a great story about Les Brown. He's one of the first mentors that I had. You know, your mentors don't have to be people that you meet that are around you. You can be mentored through a book.
Mm-hmm.
You can be mentored through an audio tape or, you know, a DVD. Just get the great material from people as you just noted, Les Brown. I was first captivated by his appearance on public TV here in Dallas.
Okay.
And that set me on my path that I'm on now.
Okay. His first one that got me was when I saw him on public TV, and he did a lecture called We Buried Butt. Hello, you still there?
I am here. I'm driving
I'm just saying this first thing that captivated me was a lecture he did where he called We Buried Butt. And his whole premise of that was that people refuse or stop to do something because they put a little three-letter word in front of them that says, well, I could do that, but.
But. Right.
And he did a lecture called We Bury But. And then when he topped it off, what the thing that hit me the hardest out of that lecture was when he made the following statement. He said, the richest place on the planet is the cemetery because there lies people with unfulfilled dreams that they did not pursue because they let butt get in the way.
And may butt rest in peace from today on. We will, that is one thing, and you are absolutely right. You know, that is called a self-imposed limitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we can do, once we hear ourselves speaking that word, immediately say, but we'll rest in peace. You know? So that's one word we need to eliminate from our vocabulary, just as we need to eliminate can't from our vocabulary. You know, and I'm sure everybody here, at some point in your life, someone has told you, eliminate those words from your vocabulary. Once you do that, because what you speak becomes reality. So what you want to speak, empowerment to yourself. And that was one of the things, getting back to the Millionaire Summit, that Lisa Nichols preached. I say preach because she did a sermon. It wasn't a hallelujah, but she had people just transfixed. And by the time, she did about 30 minutes on stage. And everybody was just sitting at the edge of their seat, leaning forward and glued to every word she said.
Okay.
She is phenomenal. If you haven't, if your listeners have not watched the movie The Secret, she's one of the teachers in that movie.
Yes, she is.
She's a phenomenal sister. And she, you know, shared with us that she has no formal training, no credentials,
right,
no diplomas. You know, she's using her God-given talent to and sharing it with anyone who will, you know, listen to her. And look at the lives she's transforming. She has a program also for teens, and I really am so thankful to hear that you have a mentorship for teens because they are our future. So
yeah,
but we now can affect our own future by putting to rest those words that don't empower us.
Yeah, her youth program is very interesting. I've had a chance to dialogue with her, and what she does, she deals with youth who have contemplated suicide. And it's really deep. She says how a lot of the youth, when they she has an encounter session with them and then with their parents, and their parents didn't even know that their child was going through these type of emotions and feelings.
And
she just talks about how through her program, you know, how she, you know, helps, you know, empower them, and they have a session in which they do, in which the parents just have to listen. They can't, you know, they and part of the growth and the healing process is that the youth explain their feelings, but the parents can't cut them off.
Yes.
And I mean, it's really deep, and she, you know, she just talks about how, you know, she, you know, grew up in L.A. and Crenshaw, and how she had this vision for what she wanted to do. And as you said,
yes,
she had no formal training, you know, did not have, as some people would figure, you know, the kind of money to just go out and launch this kind of thing. Was just sort of a vision. And she,
yeah,
followed her vision. And she has really impacted the lives of a lot of our teens and have helped empower them because, you know, they get beat down by adults in society so much is that that's, you know, what we see going on in our communities is an expression of the alienation that they're going through. That's what the gangs, the drugs, and all of the
right,
other stuff is about, is the alienation that they're experiencing, and so
right,
they don't have a positive outlet, and, you know, so they express themselves through those different forms and medias, and when you're able to tap in and show them, you know, the beauty of
who they are
inside,
yeah,
you know, because it starts inside. Too often we're looking for stuff on the outside.
That's right. And we have everything we need, but we need a team, you know, people in our corner, and that's why we're born into a family, you know. But sometimes, unfortunately, our families are not equipped with what we need to break free of generations of, you know, I'm going to say mind enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a new day. It's a new time, and it is our time. And we have so many resources now that we as adults can tap into that, you know, we can bring to our children now. And the computer is one of the ones that's, you know, it's bringing the world to us. The whole world is watching us. It's no longer, you know, just our community is not just confined to our city or our state. You know, we're citizens of the world. So
right,
what we do today, one person, we will be changing every, you know, changing the dynamics of the world to come. So, you know, that event this weekend, coming out from it and going out every day now, I'm getting up and, you know, I'm just seeing myself differently.
Okay.
I'm cherishing myself as the diamond that you're talking about now, and I'm continuing to work on myself daily. One thing I do, and one thing that was mentioned there that Myron and Fran does is personal growth on a daily basis. Now, here they are, the leaders and creators of the seminar, and they are already millionaires. But what do they do every day? The first thing they do is work on themselves. You know why? Because they know who they are. They know how important it is for them to nourish themselves and continue to take that cloth, you know, diamonds are polished, you know, the jewelers use certain tools to cut and polish and care for the diamonds. And so our tools are to, we're to do personal growth, nurture ourselves, nurture our mind, and we'll be going, and you'll have a better life. You'll have everything you want. Just do it for 30 minutes a day. If you can't find 30 minutes, start off with 10. And, you know, just increase it every day, but do it daily.
Yeah, it's important, because if you're not growing, you're dying.
That is true. That is true.
And I first learned that when I went to work with one of my mentors today, who's now he's down in Haiti, Father A.J. McKnight. I worked with him with a place called the Southern Cooperative Development Fund. And one of the things that Father McKnight had instituted at the workplace was that every morning when you came in, he asked everybody to close their office door and spend 30 minutes in meditation. Now, for some people that didn't, even though we had meditation classes and all of that, for some people that really didn't understand meditation, they thought that meant come in and take 30 minutes and get a nap. You know, his whole point was he wanted the workplace where you come in for 30 minutes of meditation before we got into our work day so that you could bring your higher self to the workplace.
Powerful.
You know, and he was ahead of his time in terms of what he was instituting in his workplace. You know, because our job was that was part of the, we call it a transitional movement of teaching people how to build cooperative economics, where through economic community development that could help empower communities. So those of us that worked in that institution, we were required. And some people, you know, didn't take advantage of it. Some people did, again, because you can institute things, but it's on those that want to be leaders to do it. But, I mean, I came out of college and I was already doing meditation. I was like, dang, what kind of workplace is this where, you know, the founder and the CEO is saying, before you start your work day, when you get in here, your first 30 minutes of the day, once you punch your clock and go to your office, and I want you to do 30 minutes of meditation. And then after everyone does their 30 minutes of meditation, then we'll get into the work day, because I want you to call on your higher self to deal with the tasks that we have in front of us for the day.
That is powerful. You know, I've never encountered that in my work history, and I've been working for the post office for 22 years now. Imagine how my work day would go better, unless people would be going postal. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's part of the whole, what he, you know, he was sharing and developing was part of the whole, what was called workplace transformation to make, you know, workplaces where they become less stressful. In other words, really work, if you're at a workplace, a collective workplace or institution, it should be about a mission. What is the mission of the institution? And then the more people that are there harmonize around that mission, the smoother the workplace goes. But when there's no harmony around the mission, then people are just there to get a check.
That's it. And they'll do anything they have to do.
Right.
But you know what you're saying? That transfers that back to what we're saying about our daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
You will be harmonizing your body and your mind around your mission in life and your purpose in life.
Right.
So starting your day in 30 minutes and the personal development, that can be meditation. That's a form of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You are going within to transform yourself, and that's one of the things that Russell Simmons spoke on on Saturday morning. And in his book, Do You, he elaborates more on that, on the principles that you're outlining. So you have been in your future, you know, you have been involved in this for so many years, and you have such a wealth of knowledge for us to tap into that I'm just excited about, you know, being in your presence and on your show and being able to be tap into this show. Now I know what I'm going to be looking forward to. You just gave me a preview.
I hear you. And again, you know, thank you for that. I mean, you know, I just try to share and be a, you know, a beacon of hope for, and a beacon of light, you know, for so many people. It's like, you know, again, you know, if you have a light, don't go buried under a basket. Let your light shine so that someone else, you know, can get something from it. And, it's, you know, it's a passage that we have in, a saying that we have in the Rites of Passage program that I deal with on a national basis. And it goes like this. Because someone else made it possible for me, I must make it possible for someone else. In other words, I didn't get here on my own.
Yes.
And so since I didn't get here on my own, then I need to reach back and help some other people get where they need to get, because it was because of somebody else. As I said, you know, I shared, you know, with you, you know, Father McKnight. Another person who was a big inspiration in my life was a brother by the name of Francis L. Warren, who was the first black regional commissioner of HEW, and who was a child. He always used to teach us that grew up on welfare to one day manage welfare on a national level.
Wow.
And, you know, and he used to really just share with us, you know, positive things about managing your life. And he had 2 degrees in psychology, and he used to talk about that most illnesses that people have are psychosomatic. They self-induce because we're frustrated, we're alienated, and we're not being our true selves and living our own lives. And so we have self-imposed illnesses that come from internal more so than something we catch out in the world.
And that creates the dis-ease in our body, in our minds, that goes into our body. Amazing, amazing. What the good thing is, we have the power to turn that around.
Yes, we do.
We have, God has equipped us with everything that we need. The 6 inches space between our ears.
Hey, it's that's the biggest space to conquer.
The most fertile diamond mine we have. So doing the meditation, doing the personal development, going within will transform your without. And you don't have to, and let you know you will never be without when you go within.
That's so true. We got down to 1 minute left, and I'd like to close us out with an affirmation for today.
All right, the affirmation for today is, I will be pleased with what I accomplish today. I will be pleased with what I accomplish today.
All right. Hey, I want to thank you so much for sharing with us, you know, Tuesday and Thursday, and we're going to take and put that affirmation in place today. And, you know, hey, you know, this is beautiful. And for those out there in the listening audience, you know, I hope that you have been, you know, blessed and have received the words that you heard today so that they can empower your life, and in turn you can help some other people empower their lives. And through that, we can build even more wholesome and beautiful communities. And as my grandson, you know, has shared with me over the last couple of days, he's 7 years old, is that if Barack Obama can do it, he can too. And
yes,
so,
can.
Yeah, I mean, the children of the day will never be able to be told that it's something that they can't do, because they have seen something that a lot of us never thought we would witness. And so for them, that the, if nothing else, no matter what else comes out of the presidency of Barack Obama, there's been something that has been shattered. And now for our children, there's no holding them back.
Amen.
With that said, God bless everybody listening, and I will be talking to you again soon, Ruth.
Thank you for having me.
All right, have a blessed day.
Peace.